Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, I trust you're ready for one last look at the question of how Christians acquire godliness. That is, how we make progress in godliness. Everybody's agreed that Christians are not perfect once they are saved. Being born again does not make us sinlessly perfect. Everybody understands that. We've all seen the bumper stickers, I'm sure, that say, Christians are not perfect, they're just forgiven. It communicates a good message, though I'm a little concerned about what message that does seem to communicate to the unconverted person, because it almost seems to me that it's saying, don't hold me accountable for the way I live. Even if I don't live like a Christian, I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven, and so don't expect anything different from me than you would from an unconverted man. Well, if that's the message that people are getting from that sticker, that's not a very good slogan. But if the message they're getting is, hey, Christians aren't made perfect upon the new birth. We're not perfect until we get to heaven, okay? So understand that. But the wonderful thing is, though we still sin, we don't sin the same way we did before. We don't sin with the same delight we did before. We don't sin with the same attitude that we had before. We don't sin with the same carelessness that we did before. Our sins are different now. They do happen, unfortunately, but now we hate them. Now we rue our sin, and we may enjoy it at the time. We've still got that Adamic nature within us, but when it's all said and done, we have a new sorrow for sin, a remorse for sin, a hatred for our sin. We hate that we fell into that sin. We acknowledge it as sin. We confess it to God. We ask Him to forgive us and to keep us from ever doing it again. Christians have a completely different attitude towards sin, and Christians are changed. They aren't exactly as they were before. They can't live exactly as they did before. Such were some of you, but now you are washed, now you are clean, now you are sanctified, said Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're just not the same as you were before. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So Christians are not just simply sinners who have decided to go to church. Sinners who have prayed a prayer and asked Jesus into their heart, but nothing's really changed. A true Christian is somebody who has been changed. He's been transformed. He's been regenerated. He's been given divine life. He has become a child of God. He has the Holy Spirit within him that he did not have before. There are so many things that are new and different about those who are truly saved. But one thing I think we nearly all agree on, and that is the new birth does not automatically bring victory over every sin. It doesn't bring sinless perfection. We struggle with our sins even after we're saved. Don't we? Nod your head yes. Don't we? We do. So how do we make progress in godliness? That's the question. And Paul answers that question in 1 Timothy 4:7 when he says, exercise yourself toward godliness. And I've spent two or three broadcasts trying to dislodge you of any notion that you may have had previously that there is some special experience, some magic formula, some biblical formula, some Christian formula, that if you'll just do this, you can, with one great big leap, go from a state of carnality to a state of spirituality into a whole different plane of spiritual life, and that's just not the case. Every child of God is alike in this. We must all continue to wrestle and struggle with sin until the day we die. But we can make progress, and we will, and we do, but it is by discipline, exercise. Reject profane and old wives' fables, but exercise yourself toward godliness. I like the way the New King James translators translated that preposition in my Bible. It is toward godliness. I think maybe the old King James, I don't have that in front of me right now, said unto godliness, and that communicates the same idea, properly understood. But some people might think that this is saying it's possible to arrive at sinless perfection if you work at it hard enough. But that's not what Paul is saying. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that we are not entirely sanctified until we get to heaven. But the Bible also teaches us that we will make progress in sanctification if we are truly saved. But it requires our labor. It requires our work. And those who make the most progress are the ones who work at it the hardest, who discipline themselves toward godliness, in the direction of godliness. Some people are better disciplined than others. Some people take this more seriously than others. Some Christians work harder at this than others, and those who work harder at it make greater progress. All God's children make progress. There is no such thing as a true Christian who makes no progress in holiness. The indwelling Holy Spirit sees to that. He is God. He is omnipotent. He is not helpless. He can and does effect change in our lives, but by the design of God, we make the greatest progress when we work at it the most diligently, just like two athletes with the same natural ability will not necessarily have the same results. And if they are two athletes of the same natural ability, and it's not easy to find two that have exactly the same natural ability, but if you could find two that had the same natural ability, the difference in which one excelled is in which one trained most vigorously, which one disciplined himself the most, which one worked harder at it. He's the one who's going to achieve the greatest reward, the greatest prize, the greatest commendation, the greatest victory, because he's going to discipline himself more vigorously toward achievement. And that's the way it is with a child of God. We must exercise ourselves toward godliness. And as we've already seen, there's an analogy here that Paul makes in verse 8 between spiritual exercise and physical exercise. When he says, verse 8, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. In bodily exercise, there is a little profit. And I talked about that two or three broadcasts ago, and I'm not going to go back to that again, but I am in favor of physical exercise. I think everybody ought to exercise. Now, in Paul's day, where there were no automobiles and most people weren't wealthy enough to afford a carriage and a horse and that kind of transportation, nearly everybody walked everywhere they went. So just in the daily course of life, most people got quite a bit of exercise. Doctors will tell you today that probably the best exercise you can do is just to walk 2 to 4 miles a day. Whatever you can do will help you. The more you walk, the better off you'll be, and that's wonderful exercise. Well, in Paul's day, they didn't have to think about walking. They didn't have any options. They walked. And they got the benefit of that. Bodily exercise does profit a little, but that little is only when you compare it to spiritual exercise, which by comparison profits a great deal more. But frankly, bodily exercise profits a lot as far as temporal things are concerned. It gives you more energy. It gives you better health. It gives you a better quality of life. It enables you to do more things. And in our day in particular, when we don't walk everywhere, to have these benefits, you have got to discipline yourself. And I know from talking to many people that it is very difficult. It used to be very difficult for me. I just didn't think I could take the time to exercise on a regular basis until serious health problems made me realize that I could take the time. It's just a matter of how important is it. If it's important enough, you'll find the time to do it. And I'm not here to talk you into physical exercise. There are plenty of other people to do that. But I am telling you that it will help you, and I would recommend it. But what I'm here to tell you is that it is even more profitable to exercise yourself unto godliness, and that is what I really want to see you do. Spiritual exercise toward godliness is profitable in more ways than physical exercise, primarily because it is profitable in this life and in the life to come. Bodily exercise can't profit beyond the grave. Once you die, that's it. You go to the grave in your body, and there'll be no more bodily exercise, and there'll be no more benefit from the bodily exercise you did while you were on the earth. But spiritual exercise toward godliness, profits you now and in eternity. This tells me that when we arrive in heaven, we're not all going to be at the same level of spiritual development, even though we will all be instantly sanctified. Our sin nature will be eradicated in that day. We will not all be at the same level of spiritual attainment, spiritual understanding. We are going to carry into the next life the spiritual attainment that we ended this life with, and then go on from there. And that means that some people are going to arrive at heaven far ahead of others who will also arrive in heaven. Because godliness, exercise unto godliness, profits for the life that now is and that which is to come, according to our text. But whether we're talking about bodily exercise or spiritual exercise, both require time. Both require energy. Some will spend hours every day on that which pertains to health and appearance, bodily exercise, and only spend minutes a day, if anything at all, upon spiritual development, upon Bible reading, upon prayer, upon reading good Christian literature, good books, good periodicals, good material that will help you in your spiritual progress toward godliness. Something's wrong here. If you will spend hours a week on your body and scant minutes a week on your soul, something's wrong there. You've got to devote the time. You've got to devote the energy to exercise yourself unto godliness. How do you make progress in godliness? Not by some spiritual zap, but by daily, rigorous exercise of spiritual disciplines in the Christian life. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.